I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for Confirm or Deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
It is one of the most popular segments on Overdrive. It is Confirm or Deny. Myself, Mark.
I think
Rowe,
I'm a rookie at this, Mark.
I'm trying to think if I've done it too.
Is this a debut for both of us?
Well, I asked a lot of rookie questions before the show to our producer, Keith Bauer, and to our technical producer, Mark Mullen, about how I execute this. So if it isn't my first time, I'm clearly a little rusty. But I will give you a statement, Dave, and we'll both say confirm or deny to it. It's pretty simple. I don't know why I asked so many questions. But the first one, such a big topic today with Vince Carter announcing his retirement after 22 seasons. The Raptors retire Vince Carter's number 15. Can you confirm or deny that?
I will confirm that. I believe we will see number 15 for the Raptors in the rafters. And I think it will be well-deserved and well-earned. I think he had an impact on the game in the city. I think he had an impact on the game in the country. And though his departure was not exactly smooth, I don't think that affects the fact that his number is going upstairs.
I can confirm that I am pissing off the full-time host of this show, Brian Hayes, by saying I will confirm the Raptors will retire his number because, as I have said, and many have said, time heals all wounds. The exit that he had, as messy as it was, as much as it put the Raptors in a bad spot, is slowly being forgotten, and we look at what he did for that organization on the court and winning a playoff series and the game seven, which again is controversial in its own right because he went to his graduation, but building basketball on an NBA front for the Raptors throughout the country, but also you alluded to all the young talent that Canada continues to produce. And you know, there was once upon a time it was Leo Routens, Jay Triano, and that's kind of about
maybe
it.
Maybe we need one of those Canadian superstars on the Raptors to really put the icing on this, to really make the impact known. One of the real, you know, go get one of those really great young star players. Would do it.
I'm sure that they could welcome Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Jamal Murray. Andrew Wiggins has already been traded once. Maybe he could trade it again. We'll see. So we both agree with that. Confirm or deny, both NHL hub cities end up being in Canada.
I am going to deny that one. It seems to me that Vegas in particular has been talked about by too many in the know for too long. And the fact they haven't shut one that down, despite the fact they could have. Mm-hmm. I think that they've got something in the plan that makes it a little bit invincible.
This, to me, was maybe the easiest one. I'm denying it. Vegas has been a lock for so long. I don't know what deal
but
that they've made.
Has it been a lock?
I just, every report, when reports are changing all the time, the one, you know, common thread is that Vegas is the leading candidate in the States, and in Canada, well, you know, now Vancouver looks like the better side, or Edmonton has pulled ahead.
Clearly they've made a unique proposal that answered every question that the NHL could have possibly had. And if, in fact, the league that has been incredibly patient and incredibly methodical through this entire process, they haven't rushed to anything. If they made the Vegas decision early, then you can trust it was for all the right reasons. And when we see the plan, we'll be like, okay, that's why they're doing it.
Well, and not that leagues are overlooking the numbers in each state that they go into, but I think that they are prioritizing, you know, the actual venues and really the hub that they can construct. And it sounds like Vegas's plan and the proposal they've given to the NHL has been so solid that they feel so confident that whatever's going on in Nevada and in Las Vegas, that as long as the players are in that hub and that they'll keep them in that hub and there's enough to do in that hub that they don't want to go down the strip and go to another casino, that they'll be safe and they'll be able to continue on. So again, we agree on that. How about this? The NFL permanently shortens their preseason schedule starting this season. So permanently is the real key word there, not just for this season. What do you think, Dave?
I will confirm that as well. I think they've been looking to do it for a long time. It seems like a great reason to do it, and I think once they do it, it's done. They're not going back to playing four games.
Yeah, it common sense says that this will happen, so I'm leaning towards confirm. It is, you know, they're going to extend the regular season, obviously for money. Let's not, you know, sugarcoat this. The preseason, there's just so many meaningless quarters. Like the best preseason game tends to be the third one,
because right. people actually play.
And what do the starters play? A half, you know. Yeah,
that's the most they play.
You know, and most of the other preseason games, the Tom Brady's and the Russell Wilson's play, you know, one offensive series, maybe two, at most a quarter, and then that's it. And it just seems like a lot of pointless football. And, you know, like, I don't know.
You know, Mark, I wanted to be in four. Four, if we were playing 10 at that point, ideally I wanted to play in four of them. I wanted to get my timing. I wanted to get hit. I wanted the feel of the game. But I thought I could do it in four out of the 10 games.
Right. So
just from a percentage standpoint.
So just under half of what you play. So if you do play two preseason games and your starters play, you know,
a quarter in the first one?
Yeah. And then
a half in the second one?
Right. It's almost the same as what you're saying. So
because when they get to game four, all that's about is not getting anybody hurt that's actually going to be on the team for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And so they keep their numbers up. And, you know, keep their depth guys up in number until the end of that fourth game.
Right. Let's go to baseball. The Blue Jays end up playing their home games in a ballpark not located in Toronto. You confirming that or denying that?
Wow.
I'll jump on this first if you want.
Okay, you go first.
I'm going to deny this just because it is different than the hub sort of scenario with the NHL. So you're asking the federal government. It's not the same request as the NHL did. You're having players come in and out of that city all the time. As Scott Mitchell pointed out to it, and things could change, but it doesn't sound like teams will be restricted just to their hotel and just to, you know, you would think that they would stay in the hotel inside the dome.
Right.
And so they're not restricted just to that hotel and that restaurant and to the playing field. You know, they theoretically could go out. They could go out to Hemingway's and go to the patio that we saw packed already at 12:01 on Wednesday morning. So I think the federal government won't be as supportive as they were with the NHL. I don't know why Buffalo doesn't have as much sort of steam behind it as Dunedin or Tropicana Field. And maybe we just haven't heard it. It just that to me seems like a good compromise, where it's a state where the numbers are trending in the right direction. You have almost a major league facility there. It's your AAA stadium. So I'm going to deny that.
So I'm confused by your question now, because you're saying confirm that they will play?
The Blue Jays end up playing their home games in a ballpark. Sorry, not located in Toronto. Sorry, I'm confirming that they're not located.
Okay, okay. Then I'm that's why I was confused by the question. I don't think they're going to play here either. So I'm confirming as well that they will play somewhere else besides here. And I'm a little surprised. Baseball, to me, and this is more of a Scotty Mitchell question, seems to be made for hub environments. They've got those spring training facilities all within minutes of each other. I mean, they can go into, well, you don't want to go into Arizona now, but you could go, or Florida, I guess.
Yeah, that's
the two places where they are.
If those states weren't such, you know, hot spots, maybe they were like that. That was the plan back in April, and it seemed, out of all the leagues, it seemed like baseball had the kind of easiest route to get.
Absolutely,
you know. And it was the business side that slowed things down. And maybe that's the silver lining, that because the labor negotiations delayed the start of this season, it delayed it enough for them to say, "Whoa, okay, Arizona and Florida, this is a bad idea. This would have been a disaster if we had gone through with that plan to have half the league in Arizona and half the league in Florida." You're right. Like, I at the time, I thought, okay, you can pull this off. I don't know another location where you have facilities that are up to the standards and you could house 15 teams within a span of, I don't know, what it would have to be, an hour of each other.
But I think it was the players' rebuke at the start of it, too, that they didn't want to go in for the whole season. And
well,
you know, I'm assuming
prorated salaries, which they agreed to in March.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking just about the actual playing. They didn't want to commit to being in a bubble for the entire season.
Oh.
However many games
they wanted
going
to maybe
to
get out of that and go back to their, I got you were saying, kind of what MLS is doing, where they're doing half the season as a tournament in Florida, and then they're hoping to go back to their cities.
And that's what you're hoping, is time is the great healer in this equation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, baseball already talking about something 2 or 3 months down the road when,
right,
hypothetically, well, we'd also thought that if we were looking at June 25th, you know, 2 months ago, we'd say, well, we better be in better shape by June 25th.
Yeah.
We are in better shape, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But even that's arguable.
Let's get through the last two quickly. Alex McGillney eventually gets included into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
I will confirm that. He should be a Hall of Famer. I think it's one of those situations, it's just a matter of time. And as the conversation continues, he was one of the very best through a stretch of his career in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, 473 goals in 990 games, over 1,000 points. You think of the numbers that he put up.
Try catching him going the other way, Mark.
That too.
That didn't go very well for you.
And we get fascinated by the numbers, but a lot of times you'll hear from very credible sources in hockey who may or may not be on the board. They want players who at one time were the most dominating player or one of, right? And who were on all-star teams and who were, you know, in the top three of voting. Like he checks off all those boxes. He was so dominant. So we agree on that. And then finally, Dundas, Ontario's Mackenzie Hughes goes wire to wire and wins the Travelers Championship this week in Hartford.
I will confirm that. I will jump right on that and confirm that. He's been good. He had a good tournament last weekend, and so many players are playing well right now. It's remarkable. But the fields are stronger too because of the limited play. I mean, you're getting the best guys out every week, but he was really, really comfortable today, and I think he goes wire to wire.
I obviously confirm. Are you surprised that the scores have been as low as they have been in the three tournaments? Like, is it?
You know what? I am. I'm not, because even compared to the courses that they're playing, understand that some of these courses, you know, I've played Harbortown a number of times, and that's a very, very different course. That's normally the tournament after the Masters, so that's normally played in April, and that's a different course with weather and wind in April than it is in the middle of June. So I think there's some extenuating circumstances that is why. And they're bringing the best out in each other right now. These guys, you know, long layoffs. Now, they weren't laid off, though. Most of the guys played right through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you talked about Spieth playing with his buddies and, you know, them giving him all the short putts. That's
right.
Why he couldn't.
The tap. Yeah. The guineas.
He was raking them all in. Yeah. But they are bringing the best in each other out right now, and they're tearing these places up.
Do you think that the fact that they had a layoff, that the stamina maybe is there, that the grind of the season hasn't got to them?
With the wraparound season now, they never get, you know, you look at the guys that totally change their body types.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bryson DeChambeau almost ridiculously putting on 25 pounds, but Gary Woodland losing 25 pounds. And he said, I've never had 3 months in a row in my life to train properly, eat properly, all of those things. And he said, I just took advantage of it. And, you know, whereas some guys handled it differently, it seemed that everybody did what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
One needed to lose weight. One needed to gain weight. And I thought somebody had a great line that first week, and it looked like Bryson DeChambeau ate Gary Woodland because literally their body types were so changed.
Pooley, just like in the NHL, your rookie performance in confirm or deny was a success. Nice job. I think we agreed on everything, every single one. So I don't know if that makes it a bad segment or not, but there you have it.
Yeah, throw that at the question maker then.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know who that was. Grappler.